Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, who's running for re-election and who's not? It's been a busy week politically in western Wisconsin. Also, we'll hear from a member of an Eau Claire church as they embark on a four-part series addressing homelessness starting this Thursday night. And also, we'll get an update on Operation Christmas Child. What happened to all those shoeboxes sent from the Chippewa Valley last fall? It's all ahead on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. Thanks for listening. We start with the big political news of the week as State Senator Jesse James, who currently represents the 23rd State Senate District, but who let us know back in October that he was moving back to his home city of Altoona, which had been redistricted into the 31st, and that he was going to run for re-election in that district. And now he's not. He announced this week that he'll retire at the end of his current term and not seek re-election, saying, quote, "This journey of being a past 68th Assembly state representative and current state senator has been amazing. James says I had the opportunity of a lifetime. However, this role came at a price of being away from my family. He says for this reason and for other personal reasons, I have decided to retire from the Wisconsin State Senate. James says it has been an honor and a privilege to represent the people of the 23rd Senate District. I need to thank my wife, Vicky, and my family. Being an elected official demands time and sacrifice, and they have supported me through it all. Now it's my time to support them," says James. He says, "I want to thank all of you who have supported, prayed, and loved me through my legislative career." He goes on to say, "We have been blessed to bring good things to northwestern central Wisconsin, things like Rogers Behavioral Health, Ellie Phillips Libertas Center reopening, supporting our youth in boys and girls clubs, Jobs for America's graduates, backing the badge, public safety initiatives, supporting our fire, EMS, correction officers, and so much more." James concludes by saying, "Thank you for the opportunity to serve and for the trust you placed in me and my wonderful staff. May God bless our future and the state of Wisconsin," unquote. Jesse James, his press release coming from this past Tuesday, April 14th, indicating he would not seek another 4 years in the state Senate, be it in the 31st state Senate district. So we did reach out to James asking for him to comment. We never heard back from him. Meanwhile, in view of that, he did throw his support behind a Republican candidate to run against Democrat Jeff Smith in the 31st state Senate district, that being the failed assembly candidate turned Eau Claire County Board Supervisor Michelle Magadance Skinner. And so Skinner, with James' support, in view of his retirement announcement, same day, came out and said, quote, this is Michelle Skinner saying, "Senator James has been a champion for our community, and I thank him for his service in the state Senate and Assembly." She says, "The people of the 31st will miss his dedication, candor, and ability to always do the right thing." Again, he's been representing the 23rd, but okay. She says, quote, "I am running for state Senate to follow Senator James's lead and continue his work improving access to health care and lowering the cost of living." She goes on to say, "On the Eau Claire County Board, I have seen firsthand the impact the state government can have on our community." Skinner says, "Hardworking families deserve a senator in Madison who will roll their sleeves up, work across the aisle, and deliver." She says, "That's what Senator James did, and that's what I will do as your next state senator." Finally, Skinner closes by saying, "I am thankful for the support and endorsement from Senator James." She says, "It's time for a new chapter, and I invite you to join me as we move forward together." Unquote. Again, Michelle Magadance Skinner, former WEAU-TV news anchor. Also, she lost to Democrat Jody Emerson, the 91st Assembly District contest in November of 2024. Also, campaign news this week, Chippewa County Sheriff Travis Hakes announcing he is running for re-election. Other sheriffs making a similar announcement. The next day, Dunn County Sheriff Kevin Bigd and Eau Claire County Sheriff Dave Riewestahl. And then the news coming out Thursday that Judge Lindsay Brunette announcing her campaign for state Supreme Court. She becomes the first announced candidate for next spring's state Supreme Court race to replace conservative Justice Annette Ziegler. Now, of course, with this latest election seeing Chris Taylor elected, we are anticipating the state Supreme Court shifting from a 4-3 liberal majority, expanding to an even wider 5-2 liberal majority, and Brunette coming from the left as well.
"Today, on the bench, I make sure the law is applied fairly and equally. Because in our courts, justice shouldn't depend on who you are, your politics, or how much money you have."
Lindsay Brunette previously served as a Democratic Clark County District Attorney.
I'm running for the Wisconsin Supreme Court because those principles matter now more than ever.
A Clark County native and circuit court judge since 2018, Brunette says,
judges should follow the facts and the law, respect the Constitution, and protect the rights and freedoms of everyone. That means protecting your personal health care rights, safeguarding voting rights, supporting public safety, and ensuring fairness for all.
Now, the next election will be April 6th, 2027. It'll be interesting to see who rises from the right, if you will, to oppose Brunette, should she somehow capture that seat. And left-leaning justices have been on a hot streak here in these judicial state Supreme Court contests in Wisconsin. Potentially the left vying for a 6-1 majority on the very important state Supreme Court. We now shift our attention to Stronger Together, addressing homelessness locally. That is an event that is coming up starting this Thursday night at Lake Street United Methodist Church at 337 Lake Street in Eau Claire. Katie Kroll is an organizer for it, and it's taken a lot of organizing to get it going. I began by asking Katie to tell us more about herself and the upcoming four-part series on homelessness.
We got this idea from talking to our congregation and just from being in the community where we see homelessness downtown and elsewhere, and wondering what more can we do about this and what's causing it and why is there so much of it. And so that's where this all came about.
Okay, so let's talk about the various sessions. First of all is I'm homeless. How did I get here? Defining the problem of homelessness and the myths surrounding it. And you got a terrific speaker, couple of speakers.
Right. So in session one, we have Lisa Gheezy from the health department and Paul Savides, who is on the Housing Our Neighbors Planning Collaborative. As well, he is also part of the Affordable Housing Task Force. And so they're mostly the goal for the first session is just to get a feel for homelessness in Eau Claire. What are the issues? What's happening? Why do we have homelessness? What more do we need to understand about it? What are some of the myths that we've heard about homelessness and why are they really just myths? That's the goal for the first session. So it's a huge topic, and we can't possibly cover the whole thing in an hour and a half, but we've run sessions like this before. We did one on depression. We did one on addiction and recovery. We've done a number, and we just have found that an hour and a half is the limit for each night, and four sessions is pretty much the limit too. So we're going to get as much information as we can in those four sessions.
I asked Katie Kroll to tell us more about the remaining sessions, starting with session two, April 30th.
So session two is where we learn from people who have experienced homelessness. What's their perspective on what's being done? And what are the barriers to using the resources that are out there? It's a very complicated problem. Mara Langrick from LEAB, that's L-E-A-B or Lived Experience Advisory Board, will be talking about her experiences and bringing a couple of people who can also give their story about how they became homeless. And I'm going to tell you that this is going to be a powerful session. Mike Henry from the Street Ministry will also be there with some stories from people that he knows about how they became homeless and what kind of challenges they had.
Then Katie says after a week off, they'll come back for session three on May 14th at Lake Street United Methodist Church in Eau Claire at 7 in the evening.
Session 3, the goal is to become familiar with the resources that are available in Eau Claire. So we're talking about the health department. We're talking about Family Promise, Housing Our Neighbors Coalition, Hope Village, the Day Resource Center. There will be, and then the police department too. There will be a panel discussion from all of these people to give us information about what's being done and what are their challenges, what's working, what isn't.
And how big will the panel be?
It will be about 8 people. So it's a large panel, but as Simone Thomas from Family Promise says, every one of them is needed there for this discussion.
Yeah, so that will be quite interesting. And then finally, wrapping things up, this four-part series, Stronger Together, Addressing Homelessness Locally, on May 21st from 7 to 8:30 at Lake Street United Methodist Church. How can my community help me, right?
Right. And so by this point, we will have learned quite a bit about homelessness in Eau Claire, and we will have learned something about the resources that are available, but we also want to know more about the places where the options that are out there that were created by individuals or churches. So, for instance, Hope Village was created by a church, and the Day Resource Center, how did that get started? And Family Promise, the Beacon House, how did that get started? And hopefully when we know how these came to be from ground zero up, we can think about how we can help. And some of the things that can be done, a lot of the churches, a lot of people in the community are already doing, but maybe there are ways we can direct our efforts, which will be more productive.
Again, Katie Kroll, organizer of the Stronger Together, Addressing Homelessness Locally, going on a four-part series starting this Thursday night at 7 at Lake Street United Methodist Church in Eau Claire. In the opening session, I'm Homeless. How did I get here? With speakers Liska Giese from the Eau Claire City County Health Department and Paul Safidis from the Affordable Housing Task Force. Sounds very interesting. And finally, Kelly Sippy describes herself as a year-round volunteer with Operation Christmas Child in the Chippewa Valley, also working media support and church relations. And she updates us on what exactly happened to all those shoeboxes that folks from around western Wisconsin sent off last fall?
I have some really exciting numbers from the 2025 season. So here in the Chippewa Valley, we collected 8,820 shoeboxes. And globally, Samaritan's Purse sent 12.2 million shoebox gifts around the world.
Yeah, that's a huge number.
Oh, yeah, it's phenomenal.
All right, and what did these boxes largely include?
So the main purpose of these shoeboxes is that we are giving the good news of Jesus Christ to children in need. So these shoeboxes are filled with small toys, personal care items, school supplies, all things that can be fun for a child. And it also offers the gospel.
Yeah, fantastic. And so, again, it's one thing to give it verbally, the gospel, but another thing to dress it up and make it inviting. It's sort of like a walkway to a house, you know? I mean, somebody will want to come in, you know, with flowers and a good, you know, roll out the red carpet, if you will.
Oh, definitely. And some of these children have never received a gift in their lives. And by placing this small shoebox, I mean, it is just a small shoebox, but it's so much more than that for these children. There are so many wonderful stories and videos of children receiving these gifts, and it just gives them the chance at the amazing news of Jesus.
By his by grace we've been saved through faith, not by anything which we ourselves have done, the gift of God. And so the gift of the good news of the gospel dressed up with these other goodies, these other treats. Again, any idea what nations received the boxes from the Chippewa Valley?
There is a very neat way to actually track a shoebox if you pack it. You have the option to take one of the labels, scan the QR code, and when you pay the $10, which goes towards getting that box to the child, as well as all of the materials that Samaritan's Purse provides, by that $10 also gives you the option to follow your box. So once the box leaves the United States and arrives at its destination, you will find out exactly what country it went to. So I know in the Chippewa Valley, we had shoeboxes that went to Zambia, many, many African countries. Some exciting things this year were Jamaica actually received lots of shoeboxes from the upper Midwest region because they were devastated by the hurricanes in October. So they were some of the first recipients of the 2025 shoeboxes right in Jamaica.
Terrific. All right. Anything else you want to add?
Just wanted to get people thinking about packing their shoeboxes. Yes, it is November. The third week is kind of National Collection Week, but really you could be building shoeboxes all year long. And there is even an online tool that you can build a shoebox online. You can customize the shoebox, include a message and a photo for the child. And for $30, that shoebox is packed for you, and it is sent on its way with the good news of Jesus.
Terrific. All right. Again, people can learn more at what website?
Yes, you can. Well, first, we have a Facebook page, right, for our Chippewa Valley group. So that is OCC Chippewa Valley. That's on Facebook. And go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC, which is Operation Christmas Child.
Terrific. Kelly Sippy, thanks so much for talking to us.
Thank you, Mark.
Kelly Sippy, a year-round volunteer with Operation Christmas Child, also media support and church relations, joining us to wrap up this edition of the program. Again, that four-part series on homelessness starting this Thursday night at 7 at Lake Street United Methodist Church in Eau Claire. So consider attending and taking part in that. I'm Mark Halverson. Again, Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. Thanks for listening.